WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're getting the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. On the 15th, we will be at Greenmount Station up in Hampstead looking for any great Carroll County stories. Anybody's got somebody who wants to come on, stop by and tell me something great happening in Carroll County, Hampstead, Manchester, Westminster, wherever you happen to be. We're going to be at Greenmount Station next week, all presented by the Maryland Lottery, as well as our friends at Goodwill, and then off to G&A in White Marsh on the 22nd with our friends at Conrad's in Perry Hall on the 27th before the draft, because the draft the 28th, 29th, obviously. This guy's getting ready for the draft. By the way, I just want to say this, man. I have not worn my Raskin Global, like, royal blue shirt in a while, and it's kind of shiny. It's a little big for me, but I've gained a couple of LBs, so maybe it's flattened out. I don't know. But the Crab Cakes are doing it to me. It was in retirement for, like, 2 years. It's kind of like breaking out the road jerseys. I like it.
There you go. It's the third, the alternate jersey. It's the alternate jersey. It's looking good.
Well, at least it doesn't look like I'm in my pajamas.
I got the white. I got the white going.
You know what? I need a white one at some point before it's all over. How are you? Last week I was at the owners' meetings down in Florida, learning what Steve Bisciotti's up to. I had breakfast with John Harbaugh, talked to a lot of coaches and stuff. It is an amazing thing, this league, right? Where last week was so Jimmy Haslam and Deshaun Watson, and this week is now Dan Snyder stealing from his partners. And at some point they're going to like have a draft in a couple of weeks and pick more football players. This league never takes a day off, does it?
No, they want to be in the news 365. That's what it's all about. They got to find themselves in the news, whether it's the combines or the draft or the owners meetings or something's always creeping up on you. Now, your job is to know what's creeping up and to be there. For me, I'm just sitting around doing my thing, and suddenly I hear the boom, there's a new story, or wow, there's a trade of quarterbacks or something going on. And so I'm just waiting every day to see how much money Lamar is going to get himself.
Well, right. Now, I find this
stunning that he's not signed yet, that it's not done. Really is kind of odd that, they say he's dragging his feet as the agent. He's his own agent. So that's also kind of interesting because, I don't know. I guess he thinks he knows what he needs to do. And I hope he knows how to get that contract done. He got the first one done, so I guess he's going to get this one done.
Well, hockey. No, I want to talk money with you.
Hang on. Alex Ovechkin was his own agent. So he did his own contract.
But he had Putin.
So I guess
it's different when you have Putin. Listen, you're the money guy, and I want to discuss this with you because – we were all like, well, Lamar's the village idiot for not taking the 75 or 80 million they put in front of him, which was the going rate before this happened, right? And Bisciotti spoke to the fact that the going rate has gone up. This is a fascinating case study.
I don't think he liked it.
I don't think 30 other guys at the pool liked it either. that was certainly, you're laughing, but that is a financial reality from where they are. They've changed the game.
This is stocks. This is stocks 101. You can't know what's coming in the market. You can't know what the price of a stock is going to be tomorrow. All the known and knowable information is in the price of that stock right now. So when you go into the marketplace to buy a stock, you're buying something that you think is going to go up in value. Remember, you're not buying it from the company. Unless it's an IPO, initial public offering, you're buying it from someone who thinks the price is going down. So when you buy a stock, you're thinking it's going up, and the guy or gal selling it thinks it's going down, and the market is set. The price is set. So yesterday, Lamar was worth X, and then the Browns pull a Cleveland and they give Deshaun Watson $250 million for his talent going forward. And the news has changed. There's new news, and Lamar Jackson's price has changed. And 30 guys can like it or not, but one guy has changed the marketplace. Not Deshaun, but Cleveland's owner.
Do you think Lamar ever talked to Joe? Because the last time that I have privately spoken to Steve Bisciotti was when I spent about an hour with him doing Purple Rain 2. And I'm going to be handing that to some folks out in Owings Mills this week. And Steve spoke of Joe being there and he and Joe having a private conversation where Steve was offering whatever the going rate was, 40, 50, but whatever the number was of guaranteed money. And Joe, when I sat with Joe over an iced tea in Philadelphia watching March Madness games after he won the Super Bowl and Joe's telling me the story, Joe said, I knew all along the price was always going to go up. Even if I won the Super Bowl or didn't win the Super Bowl, that's just the way it works. It costs more. Every quarterback that ever came before me made more money. You didn't have to win the Super Bowl to necessarily get more money. Case in point, Deshaun Watson. Case in point, Kirk Cousins. Case in point, anybody that's never, Josh Allen, anybody that's never won a Super Bowl, right? Matt Stafford until 4 weeks ago. Matt Ryan now. Like, none of those guys have won the Super Bowl. So if that's the negotiator as to whether you're getting $40 million or $42 million, it's the going rate. If Joe had told me that 10 years ago and told Lamar that 4 years ago when Lamar came in the league, and Lamar would just say, I don't have to sign now. I don't have to sign now. Later on, it'll be more money. As long as I don't break my leg, as long as I don't get as long as I don't stink completely, I'll be able to make more money. Someone will bet on me. Somebody's going to bet on Baker Mayfield. Look, Mitch Trubisky's got a job, right? So
look, I'm telling you, the one thing you just said, and I'm guessing Lamar being his own agent, or if he hasn't done this and he's listening to us, watching us, Lamar, take a piece of advice. I'm sure he and his people, whoever his people are, have been in touch with or been contacted by Lloyd's of London and insured his body for some ungodly amount of money, assuming he doesn't sign. That if he gets hurt, that loss isn't suffered because of a disability. Now, barring that, you're right. The market is going up. His stock is rising. And if he has a decent year, if he's... I heard the number. I don't recall what it was. You probably know off the top of your head. If he doesn't sign, he's got this year under contract, and then next year they can tag him. And I think he'd only make like $75 million or something.
Well, everybody's his agent, right? And for six months, you can go to listen to 105. Say everybody's his agent. They all know. They've all done agenting over there. Them and Seth Katz. I've done agenting over there, and Lamar's the idiot for not signing now. Oh my God. If you were his agent, take the money. And now Lamar's sitting here on the other side of this saying, who was a bad negotiator? I just picked up maybe $150 million guaranteed just by sitting around and watching the clock. So maybe Lamar hasn't been the village idiot. Maybe the village idiot was everybody telling him he should have signed before, because much like Joe Flacco told me, much like I wrote in Purple Rain 2 almost a decade ago, that the price goes up every day, and there's always one. There's always one desperate Jimmy Haslam that's betting the stock up, paying too much, that's going to set the market. And
that's beautiful.
I mean, Rashad is livid about it, right? I mean, he should be.
Oh, of course. Because he's the next guy that's got a sign. And he's got a choice to either try to reduce the price of the stock or go along with the crypto. The illusion is real. He's going to say, this is the market for my quarterback. This is what I'm going to pay the guy. And he's going to set the market with Lamar or without Lamar. Because if he doesn't pay him, there are 25 other guys that will.
But not $200 million. Not $200 million.
Nonsense.
I don't know if this contract's an outlier or whether these guys really do collude and decide we're not going to do this anymore.
They paid Patty Mahomes. Like you said, there are guys that have gotten paid a lot of money that are no good or average or, you know, manage their team or carry their team, but this guy's a winner. This guy is a phenom. And everybody in the sports world that you hear, NFL Network, ESPN, I don't care where it is, they can't believe that he's not signed. And every single team would want this guy. I mean, look, the Rams traded quarterbacks to get a guy that I didn't think was all that. I thought he was good, but not all that. They traded quarterbacks, for God's sakes, and they won a Super Bowl. If you don't think they're – I mean, where's Russell Wilson, right?
Yeah, well, the league's different now. I don't think there's any doubt that we can't sit here and say we know Lamar's going to be here in 2025.
No way.
They speak like that.
No way.
But given the
leverage – Not unless they sign him.
Well, not unless the leverage that the players begin to have looks more NBA-ish when see this happening right now.
Yeah, and that's crazy. The NBA is bizarre. You know, players are all over the place, and there is no allegiance to team there. I mean, these guys talk about collusion, not the owners, but the players. Right. These guys get together and say, let's play together. All right, I'm going to sit out until they trade me to your team. I don't know if he's going to do that, but if Baltimore doesn't sign him to a long deal and a big deal, I think they could have a year or two of him, and that's it. I mean, if he's healthy, he could be playing anywhere in 3 years.
Leonard Raskin is here. He is Raskin Global. I've got the shirt on. It helps you invest in the American dream. And I don't just mean Dusty Rhodes from the weekend. And man, what a sports time, though. Luke and I were talking about this, and you're such a sports guy. You're mentioning Ovechkin and his self-negotiation and how this winds up. I think of him with Putin and Russia and think this, wherever this war is going and people that were connected to different things, Stanley Cup's coming, right? NBA playoffs are coming. Masters Week. WrestleMania, March Madness, the Dawn Staley, South Carolina thing was unbelievable as well on Sunday night. And then we have just opening day happening. This is when it feels like the plague was a long time ago. All of a sudden, when I'm out at Heavy Seas drinking Ukrainian beer and eating a Cooper's crab cake and doing a Maryland crab cake tour without a mask, with normal things and buds on the trees and opening day happening this week, sports really does sort of bring guys like you and me that have been doing this all our lives, our body clocks kind of back in order as we're listening to birds and the azaleas this weekend, right?
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's the women's basketball Final Four was excellent. Final game wasn't so great, unless you're a South Carolina fan, and I'm not a fan of either of those teams, but I do know that it's the first loss UConn ever suffered in a final, so that's big news. South Carolina, you know, Lady Gamecocks took them out, and that was a big game. The Duke Carolina game was fabulous. I don't care who you're rooting for, you with your Raskin Global Duke blue shirt on.
Hey, I've been accused of a lot of things. Don't accuse me of that.
So we were out in we're down in Texas doing a little business in San Antone. We were in Houston. Now we're in San Antonio. And we were out with some friends for the evening, watching the game, having dinner. And man, the place was rocking. The game was lived up to every bit of its billing. That was a great basketball game, college basketball game, not just because it was Duke Carolina, but it was a darn good game. Hopefully the finals lives up to it, because that game was like a final game. And so, yeah, March Madness is excellent. It usually happens that, as I recall, I have been to a number of opening days on March Madness Final Monday. I mean, that's
that used
the trend
to be the standard, right? I mean,
I tell the story
that I missed the championship when the Terps won. I was at the Kansas game. Speaking of the blue, I was at the, when they beat Kansas night, I was in Georgia. I flew home Sunday because we had a live remote at Pickles Pub Monday.
And
That was life in 2002 for me and you. And it was opening day supersedes everything. So I wound up watching the national championship from here, not in Atlanta, because you couldn't do both. Literally, you couldn't do both.
Right. Well, we were, let's say, watching with some friends, and they're like, who are you rooting for? I'm like, I want both teams to lose. we hate Duke, and we just about hate Carolina almost as much. But what I'm hoping is it's a great game, and it was. It was fantastic. So that was fun. And now we got opening day coming, and I guess I know maybe a half a dozen of the O's names. So I'm looking forward to learning this team, seeing how they play. Again, we've talked about it a number of times. Love baseball. I don't care what people say. I hear people say, oh, it's like watching the grass grow. It's boring. Nobody likes baseball. Yeah, well, that's why around the league it sells out every night and people watch it all the time. I love the strategy. I love baseball. I love watching it. So I'm looking forward to the O's doing something.
I'm wondering, will it be full? Will it feel vibrant? I mean, the team has no hope this year, right? So we know that. We've seen the payroll. You know, we know at some point there'll be an Adley Rutschman sighting.
They have hope. I don't know that they have anything more than hope, but they have hope.
I don't know that they spend enough money to have hope. but opening day still, to me, represents spring. I mean, more so than even the Masters and other things like that.
Yes, yes, yes. Here it is. I mean, here opening day is spring. We're not in Augusta. We're not there. So spring is opening day. Although I can tell you this, I have clients in Augusta, and I don't know if you're familiar with the Augusta rule. Are you familiar with the Augusta rule tax code?
What?
Augusta rule. So this is made famous by the Masters. So you know the Masters isn't a 4-day thing. It's a 2-week plus thing, right? You know that. So there's a deal in the tax code that originated because of the Masters. And so the tax law says you can rent your house, your residence, for 2 weeks. 2 weeks during the year. Any 2 weeks. Collect whatever rent you collect. And it's tax-free. The rent is tax-free. You don't have to report it. It's just tax-free rent for 2 weeks. And that's called the Augusta rule. Because the people that live in beautiful big homes down in Augusta rent their house to golfers for 2 weeks, or the media, or big time high CEO fans that come to the Masters. So I got a client down there. He's got a home, beautiful home. His mortgage is $2,500 a month, $30,000 a year for his mortgage on his house. And he can rent his house for 2 weeks for $20,000. 20 grand for 2 weeks, 10 grand a week for 2 weeks. And he and his wife go on vacation. His kids, they go on vacation. And they collect $20,000. They spend like a grand on vacation for 2 weeks. And all the schools are closed. Masters week, no school. So they go for 2 weeks on vacation for like a grand, something like that, a couple grand. They collect 20. They basically pay for 60% of their year's mortgage with 2 weeks rent.
But you have to live in Augusta.
Yeah, but no. But the point is, people that live in Indianapolis for the 500, people that live in Daytona, this became law. It's not an Augusta thing. It's just called the Augusta rule. And so your home, you live in your house. If somebody wanted to rent your house for 2 weeks, you can rent your house for 2 weeks, max income, whatever it is.
I should have done that for IRL.
There you go.
A couple years ago.
Any 2 weeks is tax-free for anything. So it originated out of there.
Leonard Raskin is here. He is Raskin Global. He has all sorts of insider things like that, even stuff that I didn't know that I now know. RaskinGlobal.com. You get your education out there as well. My wife and I are doing so thusly as well. Last thing for you, I guess on spring, and I look up, it's April 4th and it's opening day and it's Masters. And I think, oh, April 15th. That's a day that makes everybody, everybody gets a little sweat when they hear April 15th. Any last minute thoughts or, if you don't have your situation organized for things to think about, extensions, obviously, right? If you don't have it together.
Yeah, extensions. Extensions happen in a couple of weeks, the 15th. The thing to remember about an extension, if you don't know it, if you've never done one, everyone is allowed to extend your return. No reasons, no excuses. You just are allowed to file your return late, but you got to remember you file the extension with your taxes owed. So if you're going to owe taxes, you must pay the tax with the extension. You can't just extend and not pay and think you can pay later. You can do that, but there's a big fat IRS tax penalty for doing that. So don't do that. File the extension, pay the estimated tax you're due. And then you don't have to file the actual return until you're ready. Months later, you got plenty of time to do it up to October. So you're good. The thing to know, and this is something people tell me all the time, and I have to laugh. It's a terrible thing to laugh at people. But people tell me, oh, I owed taxes this year. I say, well, how much did you owe? And they say, $190 or $1,500 or $1,200, whatever the number is. I remind people all the time that is the bottom number on the tax return that simply determines whether you overpaid or underpaid your withholding or estimates during the year. That is not tax due. That's just a true up, a square up with the IRS. That's all that is. The number you should be concerned about is the line that says total tax. So there are people that have a total tax bill of, let's just say, $1,500, $2,000. They owe $50 and they're upset. And there are people that whose total tax bill is $50, $60, $100,000. And they get a $1,000 refund and they're happy. This is a mistake. You should not be happy or sad relative to the refund or taxes owed in April. You should be happy or sad relative to the total tax bill, the total tax line based on your income and planning or lack of planning thereof relative to your total tax bill. And you should meet with someone and find a way to tax strategize your return so that you don't get a, oh, I owe 50 or I owe 1,000 or I get a refund of 1,000 in April and think you did well. We do tax planning. That is, we make sure that when we look at your situation, we find every way possible for you to save taxes based on your income and what you do in your life so that you can make the total tax line smaller. Not the refund bigger or the owe less, but the total tax is what we need to care about. And by law, there is an enormous tax code, like the Augusta rule, for instance. There is an enormous tax code that allows you to take advantage of rules in there to reduce your taxes. You don't have to pay unless you don't know. And when you don't know, you have to pay.
And you have to have somebody like you that knows.
And you can't wait till April to figure out what you should have done the year before.
So this is the time to get ahead for next year, right? Literally.
The best thing about April 15th is when you get angry, you should set yourself up so that next year you're happy.
Well, I'm doing that right now. Get in touch with Leonard at RaskinGlobal.com. Of course, he's here every week. He's out on the front of BaltimorePositive.com. And by this time next week, we'll be into baseball season. Leonard, how about that?
There you go. Baseball.
Give me an O. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking crab cakes and Baltimore Positive.